This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Sacred duty for everybody. And when you educate just one Muslim adult about their deen, you're impacting all of society. That Muslim will share that knowledge with their friends, their children, their communities. And just like that, your one donation creates a snowball effect that doesn't just change one life, it changes the entire ummah. And inshallah ta'ala, you get the reward for all of it. That's why this Ramadan, we're inviting you to make the biggest impact by educating Muslim adults worldwide, and it starts with a small donation that you give every single day. Join us in our daily giving campaign. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and accept from you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Just give me a second, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for confirming, Nemo, and all the participants right here. Just give me a second, guys. Inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Alrighty. All right, again, bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. I'm Sister Bai Aisha from the Philippines, and I'm going to be your host for today's class, Ramadan 360, day 13, mashallah, tabarakallah, on the topic of knowledge with Sheikh Yahya Adil Ibrahim. As you all know, mashallah, tabarakallah. No worries, Sister Hafsa is just taking her much needed break, but she'll be back very soon, inshallah. Tomorrow, that is, inshallah. And that's also to remind everyone not to forget, include Sister Hafsa and all the Al Maghrib crew for all the dedication and hard work that they've been putting through to make sure that our Ramadan 360 and all other Al Maghrib programs are successful, inshallah. Who among you here attended the webinar that just happened earlier? Alhamdulillah, all you who believe, share your gems in the chat box, inshallah. Where are my folks from the Philippines? Mashallah, so nice to see familiar names on the chat box, like Nemo. Who else? All right, mashallah, tabarakallah. All right, just a heads up, guys, that Hafsa and I have been, you know, back and forth working on my internet. So in some, you know, moments that my internet becomes shaky, please do let me know on the chat box, inshallah. All righty. Okay, let me just check if everybody can. Oops. All right. Who among you here has is catching up on Sheikh Ammar's Names of Allah series? I'm sure just today he I think he touched upon the name Al-Aziz, right? So if you haven't already, please do so on Al Maghrib Institute's YouTube channel. And there's a daily email actually on Sheikh Ammar's YouTube series, inshallah. And of course, not to mention our generous partners, USA partner, HHRD, hhrd.org/Al-Maghrib, Canada partner, Islamic Relief Canada.ca slash Al Maghrib, and our UK partner, Forgotten Woman, launchgood.com/Al Maghrib-FW. Mashallah, tabarakallah. Again, today is day 13 of Ramadan 360. It may sound cliche, but how time flies, right? Subhanallah. It's already day 13, inshallah. And for today, we're going to touch on the topic of knowledge with Sheikh Yahya Adil Ibrahim. So let me just check if Sheikh Yahya is already on the room. I think Sheikh Yahya is already here. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right. As you all know, Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim is among the amazing scholars of Al Maghrib Institute all the way from Australia, I think. But you've mentioned, Sheikh, that you're in Malaysia right now. How is your suhoor?
Alhamdulillah. It's going well.
Alhamdulillah. All right, Sheikh. I know that you have to run for Fajr later on. So bismillah. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. Just wanted to say a shout out to my brother Haj Salim Haq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. I saw him sitting there just as we were getting on. Inshallah, we get to travel again together soon, my brother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and I khayr and barakah and tawfiq in our blessed month of Ramadan. May Allah make it a month that is full of learning. And the topic that we have today is about knowledge. And of course, all of us, alhamdulillah, we value learning, we value knowing. And I wanted to speak about how knowledge can be transformative. And this is important because the month of Ramadan, we seek it to be a month of therapy. I have a book called Ramadan Therapy that may be of interest for those who are looking for something a little bit different this year. But in general, as you and I become more in tune with who we are, with our bodies, with our limitations, with our hunger, with our thirst, with our caffeine addictions, with whatever it is that we find as pluses and hindrances in our life, the month of Ramadan is really a month of learning. And subhanAllah, I want to speak about knowledge in a way that is something that I think is fundamental for us to continue a growth and a growth mindset in aspects of our life. So subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah addresses him and says, fa'alam. You know, this is the letter fa. It's not i'lam, it's not just i'lamu, it's not just know or come to know. Fa'alam, it's an emphatic, continue to know. Continue to learn, continue to practice what you know. Continue to learn about what is coming next. Fa'alam annahu la ilaha illallah. That there in reality is really none that is worthy of your devotion, your worship, your intimate knowledge of anything or anyone else other than Allah. And that knowledge then of you coming to know Allah leads you to the secondary conclusion. Wastaghfir li dhanbik. And therefore, ask pardon, ask forgiveness for what you do that may be of negligence in fulfilling what you've come to know of Allah. So subhanAllah, in the month of Ramadan, we come to know that Allah is the merciful, the one we beg to grant us forgiveness, the one we beg to change our condition, the one we beg to protect what we have. And the essentials of dua is that you want something more, or you don't want to lose something that you have, or you want to receive something that you don't have, or that you want to be protected from something that has not yet arrived. So there are four essentials in our devotion. As you make dua, those are really the four categories. Things that I have that I value. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my home. I love my job. I love my iman. I love my salah. Allahumma la taj'al fitnatana fi dinina. Oh Allah, don't test my faith. Don't take iman out of my heart. Allahumma habib ilayna al-iman. Oh Allah, make iman beautified. Wazayyinhu fi qulubina, beautified in our hearts, oh Allah. So it's something that I possess. I don't want to lose it. Number two, it's something that I have. Oh Allah, take this away from me. This illness, help me, cure me, assist me. This debt, remove it off me, right? Then there are the third category is there's things that we don't have that we want to invite into our life. Oh Allah, give me this. Oh Allah, you know, bless me with it. Zakariya is asking for a child. You know, everybody, there's things that everybody is seeking from Allah of what they have not yet achieved. And then there are things that have not arrived to us that you ask Allah to protect us from. And therefore, you come to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fa'alam, continue learning about Allah. And this is an order to the Prophet and his ummah. Fa'alam annahu la ilaha illallah. It leads you to then saying, oh, now that I know more about Allah, I didn't know how negligent I was yesterday. Now that I know there is more negligence than I assumed. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Allahumma ghfir li ma a'lam wa ma la a'lam. Oh Allah, forgive me for what I know and what I don't know, the large and the small, the minute and the expansive. So knowledge then becomes really powerful. And the ayah continues, أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And don't just be self-aware, but include others in it. Oh Allah, protect me and my home and my family. Oh Allah, Allahumma ighfir lahum ma la ya'lamun. The Prophet would make dua on behalf of those who even antagonize them. Oh Allah, forgive them, for they don't know. Innahum la ya'lamun. They don't know the reality of what it is that they're contending with. So because the Prophet ﷺ is sent as the one who bears the first words of revelation, iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, you know, recite, render into recitation, into active participation of your life, read it for yourself, but read it loud enough for others to benefit from, in the way of your Lord, who is the originator, the creator, the sustainer, the provider, the khaliq of everything. And the first, you know, five ayat of that surah, it's allama bil qalam, allama al insana ma lam ya'lam, ilm, 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 iqra, read, ilm. It's all about knowledge. And therefore, it becomes the stepping stone for any aspect of success in our life. For myself and you to want to transform anything in our life, it really begins with an elemental self-awareness, knowledge of Allah, knowledge of circumstance, knowledge of debilitations, knowledge of limitations, and it allows us then to move forward. So I wanted to touch upon a number of issues. We'll make them seven, inshallah, but very quickly in the 20 minutes that we have together. How can knowledge become transformative? First, it extends your perspective. Subhanallah, many of us were locked in a shell of what we think we know about an issue. So alhamdulillah, you ask a Muslim, do you know how to pray? Yes. And then all of a sudden, you give them a little bit of insight into an aspect of salah that they had not mastered yet, had not known yet, had assumed that they know it, but they just didn't know as much as they know. And it could be that you introduce them to a new dua. So as you say, Allahu Akbar, there's a different dua that you can make for the istiftah, for the opening prayer before you read the Fatiha. Allahu Akbar. You know, Allahu Akbar Kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi bukratan wa asila. Right? So all of a sudden, the depth and the flavor of the salah, the congruence of your heart and your mind, all of a sudden your perspective extends. Sometimes we think we know the ruling of an issue, and we're surprised when we see somebody doing something different. And all of a sudden, our perspective that was very narrow, when we become acquainted with the ilm and the fiqh and the understanding, it expands. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us about the transitions of knowledge from just knowing the letter to knowing the understanding of the letter, to knowing the placement of the letter, to knowing why this has significance in our life. So as you become more introduced to knowledge, more grounded in knowledge, as you become more Rabbani, as your knowledge brings you closer to Allah, it introduces you to new ideas about Allah that are from the precedence of Allah's revelation, that you weren't knowing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that depth and that flavor and that character and that love. It gives you a newer perspective, a different way of thinking about how to fix your mistakes and how to ask for forgiveness and how to soldier on in the tragedies and the difficulties that we encounter in life as a sign of Allah's love for us. It broadens our understanding of the world. It broadens our interactions with each other. And it enables you and I to see beyond the immediate surroundings that we're in, the bubble of our culture, the bubble of our madhab, the bubble of the limited hadith that we knew, the bubble of the limited interpretations that we had. And as you expand in knowledge, it extends your perspective, that it allows you to foster greater empathy and become more tolerant and become more open-minded. And it's a beautiful thing. The second aspect is that ilm is empowering. It's strengthening. SubhanAllah, you become so much more versatile. With knowledge, you become empowered. You become self-aware. And you become knowing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's this ma'rifa billah. It's unshakable that as you become more knowing of Allah, you become more humble to Allah. And you become more aware of the ignorance that you had that you thought you had mastered. And as people ascend in knowledge, they understand really ultimately that they did not really know and they still do not know. And those who know they don't know. Like those who are acquainted are those who understand they actually do not know. And as you empower yourself with that perspective, as your intellectual humility begins to grow, you learn and want to learn more about the various subjects that you remain ignorant of. And that equips you with tools and information to navigate aspects of life that you had not set to change and to challenge in your own perspective. And whether it's understanding a complex aspect of our faith or our deen or other aspects in our life or our relationships or our marital standing or whatever it is, you begin to hone and to focus your skill set of the knowledge and the interpretation of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ into your human behavior, that it allows you to make informed decisions rather than quick decisions. And it allows you, because of that, to be able to take more control and more responsibility on your life. So ilm becomes the vehicle for you becoming someone who is more in control of their emotions, of lessening their anger. It makes you more in control of your temperament, your courage, your patience, your perseverance, your tolerance. And that's really the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, ajaban li amr al-mu'min, astonishing is the condition of a believer who's centered with knowledge of Allah, that they have an awareness of Allah, all of their conditions are good. There is the concept of bad things happening to good people is defunct for us as Muslims. We don't believe that. The Prophet tells us that's not the reality. A mu'min does not have bad things happen to them. All of it is good, because their knowledge and their acquaintance with Allah gives them that empowerment. Number three, knowledge provides you access to critical thinking, and it allows you to become more considerate and more deliberate in how you analyze information shared with you, in what you hear, in what is said to you, in how you discern fact from fiction, sunnah from bid'ah, halal from haram, good from bad. You're not duped. You're not susceptible to hearing things, oh yeah, you should do this. And you're like, you become more critical. You're like, hold on a second. Qala Rasulullah, but the Prophet said, Qala Imam Ahmad, about what the Prophet said. No, hold on a second. I read this, and now you become more evaluative. You become more evaluative of the arguments presented to you and more evaluative of what you say, of what you share with others, of what you forward in your messages. You become much more critical in how you pass through life. That the sea of information that is being put, it's not about the information. It's now about the understanding and the filtering of that information, and having the hikmah to characterize it and to place everything in its right place, which allows you then to engage with the world that you experience in a much more constructive place. And it makes you a fountain of barakah wherever you are. Isa alayhi salam, he says to his people, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ, Allah destined me to be a source of barakah wherever I am. All of the mufassirin say that the barakah of Isa alayhi salam wasn't curing the blind and bringing the dead back to life by the power of Allah. It was that he became a fountain of knowledge. He was able to critically teach them the things that would lead them to Allah. That is the greatest barakah. The ulama, the people of acquaintance, are mubarak, are blessed. Not that you touch them and say, oh, give me some of your barakah, Sheikh. But the blessing that I carry, that you carry, as Allah equips us with knowledge, is that we have answers. And we're able to filter with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ circumstances in life. Number four, you definitely grow and have personal growth and personal best achievements. SubhanAllah, you know, what's your personal best this Ramadan? I want you to ask yourself that question. What makes this Ramadan better than last Ramadan? You prayed all of the Taraweeh last Ramadan. You fasted all of the days last Ramadan. You recited the whole Quran at least once in your khatm, alhamdulillah, last Ramadan. Okay, where's the growth? What's changed? Where's the personal growth? Well, it's not going to change unless you become more aware of what it is that I can change in the month of Ramadan. What are the things that I can do? What are the aspects of this Ramadan that I want to improve of? And therefore, as you gain more knowledge about your duties to Allah, about your circumstances of fasting, as you become more in tune with the fasting of regular people, the fasting of the elite, the fasting of those who are beyond the stage of elite that, you know, Imam al-Ghazali and others speak about, the fasting of the stomach and the fasting then of the eyes and the limbs and then the fasting of the heart, all of a sudden you begin to grow and you seek out a greater Ramadan. And that's really why after your salah, at the end of your salah, whether before salam or after salam, you say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Let my next ibadah be better than this ibadah. My fajr prayer that I'm about to pay, may Allah accept it, but may Allah give me a better dhuhr and then a better asr and then a better maghrib and a better day tomorrow than the day that I have today. So that leads you to a continuous process of learning and thus self-improvement. And those two things are not always congruent. It's not always that because somebody knows that it actually helps them to improve. But once you link the two, you become unstoppable as a believer. You become unstoppable as a father. You become unstoppable as a wife and as an imam, as a, what in whatever aspect engages your life, you grow. You become more intellectual, more emotionally and spiritually available to all of those around you because I want to improve. So it might be that your Ramadan, you did everything you're doing this year, but this Ramadan, I'm going to focus on my family because, you know, Allah says in the Quran, He talks about verses of how a husband and wife should be intimate in the month of Ramadan and that Allah doesn't hold us accountable. Hold on a second. There's a whole dimension to Ramadan that relates to husband and wife relationships. I never explored that. Let me look at that. Let me consider that. Let me improve this aspect in my Ramadan. As a wife, as a husband, let me see how can we become closer together in our relationship just on account of Siyam. Subhanallah. It's an incredible, you know, the journey of knowledge is a journey of personal growth. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow, you know, your association with al-Maghrib and with the masajid that you attend and the communities you attend be reason for that personal growth. Number five, social change. It's not about me, myself, and I. It's not about me, myself, and Allah alone. It's about me, you, and Allah, right? Sometimes it's not just, you know, I want to be a good person. It's not just I want to be salih, but I also want to be muslih, right? It's not just I want to do the right thing and do the, you know, everything is about me, but now I want to go beyond that. And I want to be a person who brings goodness into other people's lives. I want to leverage good in other people's lives. Well, how do I do that? And what's the way? And what's the paradigm of change? And what are the concepts? And what are the aspects of da'wah that can help me achieve that? What are the new ideas? What are new solutions? What are new technologies? What are new methods of learning and teaching and pedagogy? Knowledge is, when we say we're going to study Islam and the study of Islam, well, what are new age teaching techniques that social scientists and psychologists and educational experts are breaching and entering into that at times we as Muslims are kind of lagging from? Well, it's a lack of knowledge. And as you begin to learn about the study of knowledge, as you begin to learn about how to disseminate it, as you begin to learn how to assess what your children have learned, what you are putting into practice, all of a sudden your life changes, but more importantly, you can bring about social change. And even if that social change is just a dynamic in your home, you know, if you can change the culture of your home and then change the culture of your extended family, that it goes beyond just the types of food we eat and the second language that we speak in the home. But now it's like a social, you know, we have a new philosophical understanding. We have a new inspired process of how it is we express ourselves, the artistic expressions that we have within ourselves, that we get our children to learn calligraphy, English as well as Arabi, or as well, you know, whatever language, or, you know, in Urdu script and Mustalah script and Kufic script, that all of a sudden there's all this knowledge that is out there that at times we're absent from and we don't assume that it can enrich our life. But if we can change, it can provide a social change within our communities based on the social change in our hearts and in our homes and hearts and minds. And that can reshape our masajid, can reshape our classrooms, can reshape our weekend Quran schools, and can reshape our modes of thought. Number six, knowledge increases creativity. And the Prophet ﷺ was such a creative person. Like it's, inshallah, one day I would love to collaborate with people to speak about the creativity of the Prophet ﷺ in the solutions he would provide. Like the Prophet was so creative in his responses. He was so creative in how he answered questions. He was so creative in the art that he produced to explain complex things, the drawings that he would make in the sand for people, when he would hold somebody forcefully to shake him into awakening. Yabni Umar, oh Abdullah, you know, live in this life as if you're a traveler. It's like he's shaking him awake. Wake up, right? He was so creative in his teaching techniques, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so creative in how he brought people min al-dhulumati ila an-nur bi-idhni rabbihim, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And where we are as human beings, where we are as Muslims, is Islam was at the forefront of academic creativity that stemmed from the knowledge of Allah and the Prophet ﷺ's sunnah. We were the ones who, you know, honed and shaped science and technology and the arts and business and legal representations. We're the ones who formalized the legal proceedings that until now are practiced, and the jury systems. All of this came about from our innovative, creative spirit as Muslims. We're not talking about innovative in a religious perspective of that which is condemnable. We're talking about what is innovative in pursuing and expanding the horizons of ourselves and our communities to that which is pleasing Allah in conformity to the precedents and the precedent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's tradition and sunnah. Peace and blessings be upon him. Finally, ilm allows us to connect and to communicate. And there's so much more that could be said, but you know, we'll end with these seven. Knowledge is really about connection. You know, it's either, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-dunya mal'una," the world has a curse upon it. Meaning the curse of this world is whatever you consume of it is forfeit. It's finished. Khalas. Clothing you bought, wore, and then it became ripped and tattered. Khalas. It's recycled back. It's done. There's nothing more. That's the curse of the world. That whatever you have and you've used it, time, energy, wealth, it can no longer be recouped. Illa arba, but there's four things that don't have that curse. The study of knowledge, wal alim, the scholar, wa talib al ilm, and the one who has come to seek knowledge, wa dhikrullah wa ma wala, four things. Al alim, wa talib al ilm, wa dhikrullah wa ma wala, knowledge, the knowledgeable, those who are in the pursuit of knowledge, those who are remembering of Allah, anything that makes you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what assists in that remembrance, you know, the fulfillment, all of those are things that are protected from that curse. They can continue to multiply. So that which I gain in knowledge, it doesn't stay in the same shape and size, it becomes expansive. And it's communicated to the next generation. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said, يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الدِّينَ أو هَذَا الْعِلْمِ مِنْ كُلِّ خَلَفٍ عُدُولُ, that this knowledge is conveyed from one generation to the next by the most noble and honorable people. Allahumma ja'alni wa iyyakum minhum. May Allah make you and I of them. As a parent, as a father, you want to be the one that your son or daughter says, haddathani abi, my father taught me, my mother taught me, haddathatni ummi, right? That, you know, rabbi irhamhuma, you know, Allah have mercy upon them. كَمَا رَبَّيَانَا سِغَارًا, as they reared us and uplifted us when we were young. So it becomes a connection, and a connection even to those who are not yet born into the world. You become a connection for a future generation. You become a connection in the transmission of the oral tradition of the Qur'an, of the knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ. And because of that, you become a facilitator of good and a builder of bridges and a conduit of good into other people's lives that continues to earn you reward even after you've departed. And I end with that beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. You know, when one of us passes away, in قَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ, your deeds are, you know, come to an end except from three things. And all of them are related to the knowledge and the صَدَقَ جَارِيَةً aspect of it. عِلْمٌ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ, knowledge that you left, that people continue to pursue it, because it is a connection and a communication of that which goes beyond. So I wanted to share those small insights about the virtue and the blessing and the elevation of knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and I the tawfiq of being, as al-Imam al-Shafi'i said, لَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ مَا حُفِظ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ مَا نَفَعُ. Knowledge is not that which you memorize. It is what brings benefit. It's what brings change. It is what causes you to put it into practice. May Allah make you and I of them. Allahumma ameen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala abdika wa rasulika Muhammad al-Nabi al-Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin fil awwalin. وصلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد في الآخرين وصلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد في الملأ الأعلى يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ارزقنا علما نافعا وقلبا خاشعا وبدنا على البلاء صابرا we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with knowledge that is a benefit and with a body that is resilient and with a heart that is capable of humbling itself to him Allahumma ameen
اللهم آمين جزاكم الله خيرا الله يبارك فيكم شيخ يحيى شيخ يحيى are you okay for at least a few questions inshallah there are some
بسم الله.
questions from our yeah بسم الله so there's a question here that says as a Muslim is it okay to read and apply the lessons from secular or self development books so or should we only focus on reading books that has Islamic elements to it
So those kind of questions are a little bit strange in the sense that, you know, I don't know what is in the mind of the questioner. So I'm just going to take a very general perspective. Al-haqqu la yu'rafu bil-rijal. Truth is not known on account of, you know, the individual. It's on the merit of what the substance of the truth is. So if you are reading something and you cannot differentiate the trueness from the fraudulence of it or the aspects of it that are questionable, then it is better for you to depart from it or to have a guided reading of it. And I would always suggest that we do read prolifically, learn prolifically, but guided reading is more important than an isolated matter of reading. And I don't want to give a carte blanche where I just say, no, don't read. And certainly I don't want to say read everything, because there are certain things that are written from a perspective that is not holistic, that is not in the interest of somebody who is a beginner. And, you know, there are topics that sometimes we, because there is access to greater and greater amounts of information, that it can take us out of our depth and not because we read something that we actually understand its context. So what I would do is stick with elemental issues that are related to our self-interest and self-benefit, and do take advice about particular things, not just in their generalities, inshallah.
Right, Jazakallah khairan Sheikh. Another question here says, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us better insights and actions through the gained knowledge, how do we avoid the pitfall of worsened adab and attributing the ilm to ourselves?
I don't want people to overthink, right? Sometimes we are so self-critical. You know, mashallah, keep going for knowledge, akhi, and may Allah bless you with greater adab, and may Allah bless you, my dear sister, with greater practice of that knowledge. Don't let it be a limitation. It is better to know than not know. It is better to see than to remain inattentive. It is better to have heard than not to have listened in the first place. So I would say, don't let it be a barrier to wanting to discover more and more. Certainly you do want intellectual humility, and certainly you don't want to be of those who is mutasaddir, meaning you put your chest out, you squeeze yourself into places and into arguments and into statements that have no benefit. And the Prophet ﷺ would warn about reading the Quran in a way where you are trying to just theorize it in your own way. The ulama, they would say, and it stems from different statements of the scholars of the past, that the one who reads the Quran, من قال في القرآن, and says about the Quran, بِرَأْيِهِ, with his own, you know, ramblings, his own mind's shenanigans, أَخْطَأَ وَإِنْ أَصَابَ, they are wrong even if what they thought was correct, because the process is wrong. The getting to a place where you said something correct, you know, when we were younger and you do a math problem and just say you got the right answer at the end, but the process and the system that got you there was wrong, your teacher marks it wrong, even, but, oh, but I got 5 at the end. But that's not the point. How you came about it was wrong. It may be that you came to 5 this time, but in any other instance, you're going to do the same thing and you're going to get the wrong answer. So you have to go through that formal process and have that intellectual humility, inshallah.
And Sheikh, inshallah, last question. It says here, on touching on the last 10 days of Ramadan, is it a better ibadah to learn knowledge on the last 10 days of Ramadan?
So it depends what you mean. Knowledge is a very expensive thing. So if you mean that I'm going to read the Quran with better tajweed, I'm going to sit with a teacher who recites it with me, that's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ with Jibreel. He sat with Jibreel and he formally recited the Quran and re-established that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you're going to dedicate aspects of your time where I'm just going to, you know, listen to lectures or watch YouTube videos or something, I would say you want to have a balance and not put all of your effort into one thing or another. There are different selections of great merits of reward and ibadah for a reason. Allah wants you and I to have a plethora of opportunities. It's an open buffet. It's an open, I know you're fasting, mashallah, right? There's so much variety, right? There's so many things that you can choose from. So take and choose and consume from the bounty and the ma'ida of Ar-Rahman, you know, the generosity of Allah. There's time for your sadaqah, there's time for the Quran, there's time for hadith, there's time for Sheikh Umar Sulaiman's Why Me, there's time for, you know, all that. There's something for everyone. But don't limit it in that perspective, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and I tawfiq and khayr and barakah. May Allah bless you with the delight of the Quran and the sunnah. And may Allah enrich your fasting and may Allah allow you to remember us in your dua as you break it. Allahumma ameen.
Allahumma ameen. I know you have to catch up on your Fajr Sheikh in Malaysia. Inshallah, we'll see you very soon on March 30 on the topic of repair, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Astawdi'akumullah.
Assalamu alaikum. All right, guys. MashaAllah, that was an amazing 7 points on how knowledge can transform our lives. So inshallah, we'll jump into our daily anchor, as mentioned by Sheikh Amar, Ustada Taimiya. Let me just check if Sheikh Ustada Taimiya is here. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I can see her name on the participants, but... Ustada Taimiya, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. For some reason, I was not able to unmute myself.
Oh, I'm so sorry for that, Sheikha.
No worries, alhamdulillah. How are you doing, mashallah?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, Sheikha?
Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khairan.
All right,
shall we
bismillah.
Begin?
Yes, bismillah.
All right. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem. MashaAllah, that was an amazing session about the, alhamdulillah, so many gems about the benefits of ilm, the etiquette, alhamdulillah. Ilm is the opposite of jahl, all right? Jahl is ignorance and ilm is knowledge, to know. It is to become acquainted with something. Sometimes the word ilm is used synonymously with al-yaqeen, yaqeen as in what we discussed yesterday, to certainly know something, to truly know something. And it's used in many different ways, and inshallah I'll mention a few more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nahl, ayah number 78, that Wallahu akhrajakum min butuni ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'a. That Allah brought you out from the wombs of your mothers while you knew nothing. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for you hearing and vision and hearts, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, in order that you may be grateful. Meaning when you were born, you didn't know anything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equipped you with different tools, with different means with which you could learn. And we learn different types of ulum as we go through life. The ulama say that there are three types of ilm, three types of knowledge. The first type of knowledge is that which is nafir, that which is beneficial, it is useful. Why? Because a person is able to apply it. It removes doubts. It brings them clarity. It helps them grow. And mashallah, we learned about all the different benefits of knowledge. So this is ilmun nafir. And this is essentially knowledge of the religion. You know, who is Allah? Who is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How do I recite the Quran? How do I pray? How do I fast? How should I think about, you know, disturbing events that I witness happening around the world? This is all ilmun nafir, beneficial knowledge, because it benefits you in this world and it will also benefit you in the hereafter. And then there is, and part of ilmun nafir is also worldly knowledge, all right? It's not just religious knowledge, it is also worldly knowledge, which helps a person, do things that are good and useful. Like, for example, if you know how to prepare your breakfast, you're not dependent on other people, right? You're able to take care of yourself. If you know how to drive, then you are able to go places, right? If you know how to calculate, how to add, how to subtract, how to do basic multiplication or advanced calculus and things like that, then this is something that helps you manage your finances. Maybe with an advanced degree, you're able to get a job. And with that, you are able to earn an income, right? So ilmun nafir can be worldly or religious. And it is something that helps a person live a useful, good life in which they're not dependent on others. Rather, they are able to bring benefit to those around them. And of course, with this knowledge, they're able to succeed in the afterlife. So this is the first type of knowledge, ilmun nafir. Then the other type of knowledge is ilmul dar, any such knowledge which is actually harmful. It is actually dangerous. Why? Because it harms a person's dunya or their akhirah. It harms a person's dunya. Like, for example, if a person learns how to commit cyber crimes, right? They could be very good at it, but what are they doing? They're committing crime, right? If a person learns how to commit financial crime, again, it's a knowledge, it's a skill, right? But it is something harmful. If a person learns how to do magic, okay, this again is going to ruin their deen, their akhirah. All right? So there's also ilm al-dar, harmful knowledge that harms a person's dunya and akhirah. And then the third type of knowledge is knowledge that is useless. It's neither beneficial nor is it harmful. It's just useless. Why is it useless? Because a person is not able to apply it. A person is not able to, use it for anything. All right? It neither benefits them nor does it harm them. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for knowledge that is beneficial, both worldly and religious. Now, we see that it is because of ilm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted virtue to Adam alayhi salam over the rest of the creation. Right? وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam all the different names. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels that you tell me the names of these things, and they weren't able to because they didn't have that knowledge. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam alayhi salam to tell the angels the names of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him knowledge about. So, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels to make sajda to Adam. So it is because of ilm that humans have virtue, all right, over the rest of the creation. And if you think about it, even among animals, okay, this is so interesting. Even among animals, it is because of ilm that the hunt of an animal becomes lawful for us. Okay, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in detail the laws related to halal food. And part of that is, verses related to hunting. I need to talk about hunting. All right. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the hunt of the animals whom you have trained. تُعَلِّمُونَهُنَّ مِمَّا عَلَّمَكُمُ اللَّهُ So if you have hunting dogs and you have trained them and you release those dogs, all right, and you mention the name of Allah as you release them, and those dogs catch, you know, a deer, for example, even if the deer dies, you're actually allowed to eat it. Why? Because it is the hunt of an animal that has been trained. تُعَلِّمُونَهُنَّ مِمَّا عَلَّمَكُمُ اللَّهُ So knowledge, really, it sets its people apart from the rest. Now we see in the Quran that sometimes the word ilm is also used as the opposite of hawa. All right? Hawa, as in people's desires, what they want to do, what they think is best. And in opposition to that is the ilm, the divine knowledge or revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed for mankind, for their guidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِنَّكَ إِذَا لَّمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ That if you were to follow their desires after knowledge has come to you, then you would be of the wrongdoers. So one way of living is that you follow desire, what you feel like, what you think, or people's desires, their wishes, their trends, all right? And the other is that you follow al-ilm, the knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed. And this way of life is different. And it is this knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to pray for increase in, right? Rabbi zidni ilma. That say, oh my Lord, increase me in knowledge. It is this knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Musa alayhi salam to increase in by going to Khadr, right? So Musa alayhi salam went to Khadr and he asked him, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِ مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا May I follow you so that you can teach me some of the knowledge that you have? And it is because of ilm, because of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Talut as king over others. وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ Right? So it is because of ilm that someone has virtue. Why? Because ilm, as we learned, it transforms a person when it is applied and it is benefited from. And of course, the source of all ilm is Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ And as human beings, no matter how much knowledge we have, you know, collectively, all of that is what? Compared to the knowledge of Allah, it is like the drop of water that goes in the beak of a bird compared to an entire lake or ocean. And what we know is truly very, very little compared to what Allah Azza wa Jal knows. And this is why with ilm, there must always, always be a humility. And there must always be a yearning to increase in ilm and amal, for which we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for continuously. So let's hear from you now. Let's take reflections. MashaAllah, you all have been so good with your reflections. I'm looking forward to hear from you. Bismillah, go ahead. And remember, keep the reflections to the point, inshallah. Only reflections, no questions. Go ahead, bismillah. Laiba?
Right. Bismillah, first on the list is Sister Laiba. Please unmute yourself.
Assalamu alaikum. Astatla, how are you today? It was a long night today. I've been here since the session we had earlier, and now here. If you don't mind, I would actually like to reflect like from earlier as well today, if that's not a problem. So
as long as it's relevant to the topic, go ahead.
Yes. So Sister Sarah earlier mentioned that how modeling is very important aspect, and I think so. That is, we are leaving the point that we also, as even though we are married right now, but we need to get the knowledge and be able to implement that in our life and model that for our children, rather than expecting the generation to just, asking them to learn and implement them the way our parents did, which led to us learning so late in our life when we got conscious. We were not at 13 years old, we were not worried about learning Islam because our parents weren't worried. They were just wanting us to read Quran and all that. But now I realize that learning knowledge is very important to be able to model, so that they can learn from a very early age, rather than us being worried about them learning. So I think so. This was a very important aspect of mashallah Islam that we neglect a lot, is knowledge and the role models we become after getting the knowledge. Alhamdulillah.
Markullah Viki.
All right, next on the list is Sister Razan. Please unmute yourself. Sister Razan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
My reflection is that the more knowledge you have, the more benefit the others.
Yeah, the more knowledge you have, the more benefit you can bring to others. Very good. Barakallahu fiki.
MashaAllah. We have Sister Aisha Gomda. Please unmute yourself.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The reflection I have today is that I hope that I'll be able, with the knowledge that I've been gaining from the beginning to now, I'll be able to be intentional about the tarbiyah or the training that I'll give to my children. And then I've come to learn that there's a lot more that I don't know that I need to learn about my religion. And inshallah, I believe that with this platform, I'll be able to learn more and be able to impact more. Jazakumullah khair.
Right, mashallah. And
when a person, just one thing I want to add here. When you're learning, your intention should not be that, okay, I want to learn so that I can teach. Okay? Learning is not just for the purpose of conveying. Learning is for the purpose of practice. All right? And because you bring it to into your own life, and you see the benefit of it, of course you want to pass it on as well. The primary goal should be to bring it into action. Inshallah.
Inshallah, beautiful. Primary goal is to gain, to put it into action. We have Sister Khadija. Please unmute yourself.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Khadija Zahir. I'm from Gujarat, Pakistan. I'm a medical student right now in my final year, and in second or third year, I just got really confused that am I consuming the right knowledge, the worldly knowledge? And then I came across a hadith Qudsi in which Allah says that, O son of Adam, I was sick and you did not visit me. And then man says that, how can you be sick when you are the Lord of the world? And Allah says that my servant was sick, and had you visited him, you would have found me there. And then so I realized that as a doctor, I'm able to empathize with so many patients per day, and not only just empathize with them, but also I'm able to treat them. So that is really good worldly knowledge, as you call that. Ilm al-Nafi is not just religious knowledge, but it is also worldly knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Good.
All right, mashallah. We have Sister Jannat Zaid.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, sister. For me, I'll keep it short. Like, a lot of us know a lot of du'as. From childhood, we are supposed to memorize Quran, but many of us do not know the meaning behind it. So mm-hmm. from today's holy experience, it would be that we should gain the knowledge, the meaning behind it, and only then we can be a full circle in order to know the message of Allah.
MashaAllah. Now we have Sister Afifa Darabuddin.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Nabiullah. I want to share that Aisha radha anha said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his character was the Quran. And it also reminds me of his narration of the best of you are those who learn the Quran and teach it. Mm. And I was thinking about teaching, that the teaching could be his character. Perhaps he taught people through his manners and his behavior and his character.
Yeah, he taught through his character, through his interactions. He would also recite the Quran to people. And he taught in many different ways, not just one way.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah khairan for sharing.
Jazakallah khair.
Sister Lila? I think, please unmute yourself. Sorry.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. So Hi. From today's session, what struck to me was when Imam Yahya was mentioning about how can knowledge be transformative. The last point, actually, he mentioned he increases connection to future generation. And it impacted me because my parents who passed down these duas and everything to me, they did not have internet connection or these amazing books, tafsirs. They only had Arabic version of Quran and some knowledgeable people in the country. So I feel this itself motivates me to learn more. I have internet, I have you all, I have these sessions. So just want to say this really impacted me to learn more.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
MashaAllah. Now we have Hannah, Sister Hannah Ali.
Yes, salam. I just wanted to say what Ustada said about whosoever has ilm must always be humble as well. This is such an important point because I feel in the more knowledge people gain, especially about religion, they become scholars. I feel like they have this thing about them where they would like maybe sometimes belittle other people or think like they are way more superior and so I think it's so important, especially for our religious scholars to be very humble while in their teachings and not be so harsh with people around them. So I just really love this point too.
JazakAllah khairan.
MashaAllah. I think those are on the list already, Sada, Taimia. So do you have any last words to our students before
we just go on to our... a couple of du'as related to knowledge, and then inshallah we'll conclude with that. We learn in a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to pray in his Fajr prayer. And before he would say the salam, he would make du'a. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an وَرِزْقًا طَيِّبًا وَعَمَلًا مُتَقَبَّلًا. That, O Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge, for sustenance that is pure, and for actions, deeds that are accepted by you. What a beautiful dua to make right at the beginning of the day. that, oh Allah, allow me to learn something that will benefit me, allow me to earn something that will be pure and lawful and beneficial for me, and allow me to do those deeds which will be accepted by you. Allahumma ameen. There is another dua. Allahumma anfa'ni bima 'allamtani wa'allimni ma yanfa'uni warzuqni 'ilman tanfa'uni bih. That, oh Allah, benefit me with what you have taught me. Meaning, whatever that I have learned so far, allow me to benefit from that. وَعَلِّمْنِي مَا يَنْفَعُنِي And teach me what will benefit me. Meaning, whatever I don't know that is beneficial for me, allow me to learn that. وَرْزُقْنِي عِلْمًا تَنْفَعُنِي بِهِ And provide me with knowledge which you will benefit me with. Meaning, in the future also, continue to provide me with knowledge that will continue to benefit me. And remember, the real benefit of ilm is that it turns into action. So when you're asking Allah for beneficial knowledge, you're asking Allah for the ability to understand, to remember, and implement that knowledge as well, inshallah.
Inshallah. So those are beautiful du'as that we should, inshallah, take note of. Inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan, Ustada Taimiya.
All right.
So inshallah, just a few reminders, inshallah, before we go. So there'll be a Kahoot quiz, inshallah, on Sunday. Make sure to catch up on the sessions that you've missed, as Kahoot questions will be taken from the various classes that we had. And of course, the Fatwa Night with Sheikh Khalid Basiouni will be tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sign in your questions ahead of time to the Fatwa Night Q&A form. I think, let me just give the link, inshallah, on the chat box so that you don't miss it. There you go. And inshallah, as mentioned by Sada Sultana, actions bring more about yaqeen. So don't miss out on the golden opportunity of daily giving. So as of now, we have 856. And as you all know, we have a target of 1,000, inshallah. So 1,000 donors. So please do support and give your support today at almaghrib.org/daily giving. And of course, we won't finish this class without mentioning our three charity partners: USA partner hhrd.org/almaghrib, Canada partner islamicrelief.ca/almaghrib, and UK partner Forgotten Woman launchgood.com/almaghrib-fw. And of course, our 10-day Quran challenge continues at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, inshallah. And I hope you guys have an amazing day today. Alhamdulillah, it's been a great day for all of us. Day 13, and tomorrow it's going to be day 14. So see you all tomorrow, inshallah. And with that, we end with Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Jazakumullahu khairan, everyone. Assalamu alaikum.